decidedly Christian, distinctly biblical, and just a little bit nuts. This is Squirrel Chatter.
And welcome to the Piney Woods, ladies and gentlemen. Good to have you with us here. It is the 3rd of January. Today is the 10th day of Christmas, if you're counting down the 12 days of Christmas. It's the third day of the new year, so Happy New Year. And welcome to a new year of Squirrel Chatter. Now, this year, Lord willing, we're going to be reading through the entire Bible in the Legacy Standard Bible using the five-day reading program, which is linked in the show notes. And I got my checklist right here for our five-day reading program. And I still have our totally completed checklist. Let me angle it so it's not glaring there on the camera. Totally completed checklist for the New Testament, which we just concluded right before Christmas. So that's a good sense of accomplishement. And today we're starting the entire Bible, which is exciting too. Now, because we're going through the whole Bible this year, there's going to be more scripture reading. So I guess we should say, welcome to Squirrel Chatter, now with more scripture, which is not a bad thing. So I'm going to be changing the format just a little bit of the podcast, and we're going to do the scripture reading first, because we read 3 or 4 chapters a day. So we're going to be doing the scripture reading first, and then we're going to be discussing whatever topic of the day we have after the scripture reading. So we'll get the scripture reading, I don't want to say out of the way, but we'll get the scripture reading taken care of, let's put it that way, first. And the time in the Word that we're going to spend as we do our Bible reading is going to be a little bit more formal, mainly because we're doing more Bible reading. We're going to have the same prayers at the beginning. We're going to have, I think we'll go ahead and read through the Apostles' Creed every morning, and then finish up with another prayer at the end before we get into our topic of the day. Still going to do Monday meanderings today. We're going to have Theology Thursday. I'm not going to break the week up any further than that. So we won't have, set topics or set things for Tuesday or Wednesday or Friday. But the Monday meanderings are going to be with us, and Thursday, Theology Thursday, is going to be with us as we continue to go through the 1689. So that's just kind of how we're going to go with our new year of Squirrel Chatter. So welcome, and before we get into our Bible reading, I want to remind everybody that Squirrel Chatter is a member of the Christian Podcast Community, and I would encourage you to head on over to christianpodcastcommunity.com if you're looking for another podcast to listen to. There's all sorts of great stuff over there, and I encourage you to check it out. I am slowly making my way through the roster of podcasts, and new podcasts are being added to the community all the time. So keep checking back, because there might be something new up there that you haven't heard about yet. And as the year goes by, I will do a bit more plugging and pointing to other good podcasts that are out there on the Christian Podcast Community. And in case you're looking for something, maybe I'll have some suggestions. But that's christianpodcastcommunity.com. Check it out. Find some good stuff. All right, let's get into our time of worship this morning, beginning with our prayer of confession. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from thy ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against thy holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done, and there is no health in us. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us miserable offenders. Spare thou them, O God, which confess their faults. Restore thou them that are penitent, according to thy promises declared unto mankind in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life to the glory of thy holy name. Amen. Now the prayer for our reading of the word, which is the collect for the second Sunday in Advent. Blessed Lord, who hast caused all holy scripture to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life which thou hast given us in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today's scripture reading begins with Genesis chapters 1 and 2, then Psalm 19, and then Mark chapter 1. So Genesis chapter 1. Again, reading from the Legacy Standard Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, one day. Then God said, "Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." So God made the expanse and separated the waters which were below the expanse from the waters which were above the expanse, and it was so. And God called the expanse heaven, and there was evening and there was morning, a second day. Then God said, "Let the waters below the heavens be gathered into one place, and let the dry land appear," and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seeds, and fruit trees on the earth bearing fruit after their kind with seed in them." And it was so. And the earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed after their kind, and trees bearing fruit with seed in them after their kind. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, a third day. Then God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light, and let them be for lights in the expanse of the heaven to give light on the earth." And it was so. So God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night, and also the stars. And God placed them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, and to rule the day and the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, a fourth day. Then God said, "Let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the face of the expanse of the heavens." And God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarmed after their kind, and every winged bird after its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth." And there was evening, and there was morning, a fifth day. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures after their kind, cattle and creeping things, and beasts of the earth after their kind." And it was so. God made the beasts of the earth after their kind, and the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing of the ground after its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, so that they will have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." And God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created them. Male and female he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky." Excuse me. "And over every living thing that creeps on the earth." Then God said, "Behold, I have given to you every plant yielding seed that is on the surface of the earth, and every tree which has the fruit of the tree yielding seed. It shall be food for you. and to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the sky, and to everything that creeps on the earth which has life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. And God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed, and all their hosts. And on the seventh day God completed his work, which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because on it he rested from all his work which God had created in making it. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created. In the day that Yahweh God made earth and heaven, now no shrub of the field was yet on the earth, and no plant of the field had yet grown. For Yahweh God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was no man to cultivate the ground. But a stream would rise from the earth and water the whole surface of the ground. Then Yahweh God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and so the man became a living being. And Yahweh God planted a garden in Eden toward the east, and there he placed the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground Yahweh caused to grow every tree that is desirable in appearance and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from there it divided and became four rivers. The name of the first was Pishon. It is the one that went around the whole land of Havilah, and there where there is gold. Now the gold of that land is good, and bdellium and the onyx stone are there. And the name of the second river is Gihon, and it is the one that went around the whole land of Cush. And the name of the third river is Tigris. It is the one that went east of Asher, and the fourth river is the Euphrates. Then God took the man and set him in the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and keep it. And Yahweh God commanded the man, saying, "From any tree of the garden you may surely eat, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat from it, for in the day that you eat from it you will surely die." Then Yahweh God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." And out of the ground Yahweh God had formed every beast of the field and every bird of the sky, and he brought each to the man to see what he would call it. And whatever the man called a living creature, that was its name. And the man gave names to all the cattle, and to the birds of the sky, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helper suitable for him. So Yahweh God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. Then he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. And Yahweh God fashioned the rib which he had taken from the man into a woman, and he brought her to the man. Then the man said, "This one finally is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. This one shall be called woman, because this one was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed." Psalm 19. The heavens are telling of the glory of God, and the expanse is declaring the work of his hands. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their utterances to the end of the world. In them he has placed a tent for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber. It rejoices as a strong man to run his course. Its rising is from one end of the heavens, and its circuit to the other end of them, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. The law of Yahweh is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of Yahweh is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of Yahweh are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of Yahweh is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of Yahweh is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of Yahweh are true. They are righteous altogether. They are more desirable than gold, even more than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your slave is warned, and keeping them there is great reward. Who can discern his error? Acquit me of hidden faults. Also, keep back your slave from presumptuous sins. Let them not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, and I shall be acquitted of great transgressions. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Yahweh, my God and my Redeemer. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 1. The beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, Behold, I send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Make ready the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the region of Judea was going out to him, and all the people of Jerusalem, and they were being baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. And John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist, and was eating locusts and wild honey. And he was preaching, saying, After me one is coming, who is mightier than I, and I am not fit to stoop down and untie the strap of his sandals. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Now it happened that in those days Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opening, and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And a voice came out of the heavens, You are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased. And immediately the Spirit drove him to go out into the wilderness. And he was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild beasts, and the angels were ministering to him. Now after John had been delivered up into custody, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of God, and saying, The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. As he was going along by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net in the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on a little further, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were also in the boat mending the nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants, and went away to follow him. And they went into Capernaum. And immediately on the Sabbath he entered into the synagogue and began to teach. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority and not as the scribes. And immediately there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, What do we have to do with you, Jesus the Nazarene? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, Be quiet and come out of him. And throwing him into convulsions, the unclean spirit cried out with a loud voice and came out of him. And they were all amazed, so that they were arguing among themselves, saying, What is this, a new teaching with authority? He commands even the clean spirits, and they obey him. And immediately the news about him spread everywhere into all the surrounding district of Galilee. And immediately after they came out of the synagogue, they came into the house of Simon and Andrew, with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was lying sick with a fever. And immediately they spoke to Jesus about her, and he came to her, and raised her up, taking her by the hand, and the fever left her, and she began waiting on them. Now when evening came, after the sun had set, they began bringing to him all who were ill and those who were demon-possessed, and the whole city had gathered at the door. And he healed many who were ill with various diseases and cast out many demons. He was not permitting the demons to speak because they knew who he was. And in the early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus rose up, went out of the house, and went away to a desolate place, and was praying there. And Simon and his companions searched for him. And they found him and said to him, Everyone is looking for you. And he said to them, Let us go elsewhere, to the towns nearby, so that I may preach there also, for that is what I came out for. And he went, preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and casting out the demons. And a leper came to Jesus, pleading with him and falling on his knees before him and saying, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." And moved with compassion, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I am willing, be cleansed." And immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. And he sternly warned him and immediately sent him away. And he said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded as a testimony to them." But he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the news around to such an extent that Jesus could no longer publicly enter a city, but stayed out in desolate areas, and they were coming to him from everywhere. This is the word of the Lord. Now the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Now the Collect for Grace. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, who has safely brought us to the beginning of this day, defend us in the same with thy mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings may be ordered by thy governance to do always that is righteous in thy sight, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, that is our time of reading today. That's one, day one of week one, as we, I'll go ahead and check it off on my checklist. Day one, week one, X that out. Good feeling. We've started the new year off right in the Bible, which is where we should be. And it is a new year. It's the year of our Lord, 2022, which, as we know from what we were discussing before Christmas about when Jesus was born, means it's about 2025 to 2027 years since Jesus was born, because we're not exactly sure of the day or the year of the birth of our Lord, because Scripture doesn't tell us, because it really wasn't important. The event was important. The date was not. 2022 is an election year, and so as the year goes by, I will be talking more about politics than I did last year. Not so much candidates or policy. I'll leave that to political pundits. But what I plan to discuss will be more political and economic philosophy, in light of biblical truth. Back during the 2020 election, I posted quite a bit on Facebook about politics and had a friend challenge me, kind of a never-Trumper, challenge me on some of my views and how they could line up scripturally. And I said at some point that I would address that. And as it is an election year this year, I want to examine my political philosophies and my economic philosophies in the light of Scripture, and see if I'm truly standing on the Word of God. And if I am, great, that'll just reinforce it. If I'm not, then I will need to make some adjustments. That's something to look forward to this coming year as we get into the election cycle, the midterm elections, as they're called, the one-third of the Senate, all of the House of Representatives, and I don't know how many governorships and whatnot are up this year, but the midterm elections are always a big year, and not quite as big as the presidential years, but they can have quite the impact on national policy and stuff, so they are important. So we will be in prayer about that, and we will be discussing some of that this year. Also, since we're doing this daily Bible reading schedule, and I'm going to be gone for almost 2 weeks during Shepherd's Conference, rather than trying to do the podcast from the road, I found out how I can pre-record episodes. And so it is my intent. There will be no video, there will be no live cast, but the days that I'm gone to Shepherd's Conference, I will pre-record our scripture readings, and those will be dropped every day automatically so that I don't have to worry about it while I'm on my trip. Now, I am taking recording equipment with me. I may be doing some interviews and stuff like that that I may post from the conference, or I may post when I get back. Don't have any firm plans of that sort. Could also do a live cast from the conference itself. Like I said, no plans for that. Just I'm going to be ready to do that if something comes up, or if I feel the desire or the need to do something like that. So that will be in late February, early March, or is it early March? I have to look at the date that I'm leaving. I'll be driving down the end of the week prior, and then Monday and Tuesday of the Shepherd's Conference, I'll be attending an expository workshop that's being put on by G3 Ministries at Santa Clarita Baptist Church in Santa Clarita, with their pastor, my good friend Dave Caldwell, is the pastor of that church. So I'll be attending that. Vody Bachum and Josh Bice are going to be leading that seminar. I assume Tom Buck will be there also, because he's in charge of those expository workshops. But that's going to be a very busy 2 days of improving my expository preaching. So I look forward to that. And then on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday is the Shepherd's Conference. And because I drive down, and there's no way I could get back here before church, I always stay through the weekend. And I'll go to church at Grace Community Church, and then I'll drive back starting Monday. So that will be my trip to Shepherd's Conference. And for those days, so at least 9 days, I'll have to pre-record 9 days, which shouldn't be a problem. And so I'll have those pre-recorded, and I'll have those scheduled to drop at 7:30 Mountain on the days designated. So kind of looking forward to that. Also, the great John Madden passed away this week. He died on the 28th of December at the age of 85, and just a couple days after Christmas. And, of course, he was the football coach of the Oakland Raiders from 1969 to 1978, winning Super Bowl XI during that period. And then he left coaching in 1978, and in 1979 he began his career as a football commentator, which, even though he's a Super Bowl winning coach and he was a coach for a decade, he's best known as a sports commentator, football specifically. And he started his football commentating career in 1979 when I was in the eighth grade. And I remember he rapidly became our favorite commentator. And I remember Dad would often, you know, which game is Madden calling, and look for whatever game that was to watch, because he was so good. And he explained the game so well. And so from 1979 until 2008, he called football games for all four networks and worked most famously with Pat Summerall. Pat Summerall and John Madden were a team with, I believe, CBS and then Fox. And then when Pat Summerall retired, he ended up teaming up for the remainder of his years with Al Michaels, who is another great play-by-play announcer. And so he retired from football commentating in 2008, and he passed away this weekend at this last week at the age of 85. Sad day, because I can't tell you how many games I watched that he called the color on, and I've missed him calling games since he retired. There's no football team out there or football commentator team out there right now that comes close to especially Summerall and Madden. That was a team. They were good. And if they were calling a game, it was worth watching, even if it was a horrible game, just the play calling and because they were the lead commentator team, they pretty much had their pick of what game they wanted to cover that week. And so they were typically the team that was covering the marquee game. So they would usually have a real good game. He worked for all four networks, which means he did Monday Night Football for a while, didn't he? I really don't remember. It's been it's been 13 years since he retired, so a lot of that's kind of faded from memory. But he was with all four networks, and if he was with all four networks, that means he did Monday Night Football at one point. So I'd have to look that up and check that out. But yeah. Famously, he did not fly. After he left coaching, he quit flying. He had to fly as a coach, and I believe the flying was one of the reasons he left coaching, was because that he had to fly. And it wasn't a fear of flying. It was claustrophobia. He increasingly felt trapped on the airplane because you can't get off. And so he famously, as a sports commentator, crossed the country in a bus. He had a private bus, like a rock star bus. It was actually provided by Greyhound. And he would drive around the country in the Madden Cruiser. That was what they called it. And so he had he'd call a game and he'd get on the bus and he would drive to wherever he was calling a game next week. He'd have 5 days to get there, 6 days to get there. So he would just travel the country. I saw it once driving by on the freeway. Never got to meet the man, but I saw the bus drive by. I assume he was in it. Great, great guy. And as a bus driver, I've always thought driving the Madden Cruiser would have been a dream job. Go to NFL game to NFL game. I don't know, maybe they got the bus driver tickets so he could go in and watch the game. that would be pretty cool. But just to drive the Madden Cruiser. And famously, Thanksgiving Day games, he would always have a turducken. And he would award turkey legs to the people he thought were the best players of the game. And he ended up with an eight-legged turducken. It was funny because he would pass out all these turkey legs. And they would always show a picture of it on Thanksgiving as the day was coming. There would be this huge turducken. And it would have four legs on each side. That was a big deal. So that was a good thing. And the question arises, whenever we think about the death of somebody, it's, did he know the Lord? He identified as Christian. But he wasn't outspoken or vocal about his faith. Now, his longtime broadcast partner, Pat Summerall, was a man of deep Christian faith. And he was very public about it. And I can't imagine that all those times together that they spent, that it didn't come up. And so I have no doubt that John heard the gospel. And it is my hope that he repented of his sin and believed the gospel. But we don't know, because he wasn't very public about things like that. He was for such a public figure and such a well-known figure and someone who was known to be approachable, because as he was traveling across the country in his bus, they would stop at, you know, truck stops and fuel up and you know, stop at restaurants and eat. And so people would, you know, walk into their local Stuckey's and there would be John Madden sitting at a booth eating, because he was crossing the country in the Madden Cruiser. And he was always reportedly very happy to greet his fans and to say hi and take a picture. Since he passed away last week, I've seen a lot of pictures on social media of the time I met John Madden in a Howard Johnson's in Omaha, you know, so things like that, because, you know, Madden was crossing the country. So he was approachable and he was personable, but he really was a private person. He didn't talk much about his personal life, his personal beliefs, things like that. He would talk about football. And he said that, you know, football consumed him. Probably no man more knowledgeable about the game and had such a folksy style about him in communicating it. He was just a regular middle-class guy. You know, he wasn't a fancy or highbrow dude. Excuse me. But yeah, I loved him. I loved listening to him. But thinking about, you know, people passing away, you know, we just lost Betty White. We actually know a little bit more about her beliefs. She was apparently a Unitarian, which is a Trinitarian heresy. So she attended a heretical church. She certainly had unbiblical views of sexuality, and she had unbiblical views of the relationship between man and animal. So we are much more confident in what she believed and what we know about what her beliefs were. Excuse me, do not make us very confident about her eternal destiny. But Madden, we don't know. And thinking about that, saying, you know, if you have a loved one and you know they're not a Christian, share the gospel soon. We have 52 weeks ahead of us as we move into this new year. Today being week one, or this week being week one, we have 52 weeks ahead of us. Would you make a commitment right now to share the gospel with 52 people this year? Just once a week? I guarantee you that's more people than you shared the gospel with last year, probably. Shouldn't guarantee it. Some of you are very evangelistic, but others of us, we get shy, we get, you know, put off, we don't want to impose. Impose. Share the gospel. Also, if you have loved ones and you don't know their beliefs, ask and share the gospel if necessary. We must spend this new year telling people about the gospel of Jesus Christ, because there is salvation in no one else. There is no other name under heaven that's been given among men by which we must be saved. So make plans to share the gospel. Equip yourself to share the gospel. I think that'll be our topic tomorrow. We did a whole week on the gospel and sharing the gospel a couple of months back, but I think I'm going to do a one-day refresher course tomorrow, just to get all the elements of the gospel in our mind at the beginning of the year as we move forward. And so, Happy New Year. Thanks for being with us today. Remember to do the things you ought to do. Don't do the things you ought not to do. And whatever you do, do it for the glory of the Lord. We'll see you again here tomorrow. Take care. God bless.
Squirrel Chatter is recorded in front of a live studio hamster.